Hello, and welcome to our special series of Green Elephant interviews during March 2021, supporting the annual B Corps Month. B Corporations, or B Corps for short, are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. Throughout March, we are chatting with key people in companies which have chosen to certify as B Corps and become a force for good. Today, I have been joined by Joanne Chidley, but although she's given me permission to call her Jo, from Beauty Kitchen. Since 2014, Beauty Kitchen has been making 100% effective, natural, affordable products with sustainability, cradle-to-cradle principles, and certification at the heart of everything. And to top it all, they are based in beautiful Scotland, as you can currently see Jo sporting the appropriate tartan. They've been a certified B Corporation for nearly 5 years and have just gone through their recertification process. Jo is the founder, with her husband Stuart, and apparently chief nerd at Beauty Kitchen. As the resident sustainability expert, chemist, and herbal botanist, Jo is well placed to tell us how they are disrupting the beauty industry. Welcome to the Green Elephant Show, Jo.
Hi, Russell. Thanks very much for inviting me.
So, Jo, I have to ask, how nerdy are you?
I'm pretty nerdy, yeah.
What makes you the nerd in your company?
Because, see, when I see a thread, I just need to keep pulling it and pulling it and pulling it. And even if it takes me 6 months to get to the end of that thread, I have to do it. There's just something that doesn't stop me from doing it.
It's that persistent desire. And is that what drove you to pull at the thread of the beauty industry and what it was doing to people's skin and faces and such the like?
Well, yeah, so I kind of call myself a failed chemist. So I studied chemistry. I did it for a little bit and then I fell into HR.
Which is chemistry of a completely different way, yeah.
It very much is. And I worked for some big companies, Nestle, Microsoft, and I was head of HR for Avon Cosmetics. And what I loved about Avon Cosmetics, although in the beauty industry, there's lots of things that they do that I dislike, they empower women. That is their mantra. That's why they're in business. Yeah, and that really fascinated me of how they set out their business model to be able to complement driving and giving women across the globe freedom and independence through, you know, their own self-employment. That was really when we thought about targeting the beauty industry. Sustainability has always been part of everything that I do. I come from a little town south of Glasgow. There's not a lot to do here. And we, in the 80s, our steel industry was kind of ripped out the kind of heart of the community.
Really?
And so reusability and swapping clothes and, you know, using other people's resources, as in friends and family, was just the way of life that you had to, you know, do from where I grew up. So sustainability has always played a part in everything that I do. When it came to setting up Beauty Kitchen, we looked at setting up a sustainability company. And we just knew that the industry that we had experience in was prime and had a big gap, because beauty is just not known for sustainability. But the great thing about the beauty industry is, you know, it's innovative, you know, it's about self-esteem, confidence. There's so many great things within that industry to build from. And it's something that everybody can access, because everyone gets washed, I hope, on a kind of daily basis. So, you know, from a sustainability perspective, there's a big gap because you've got products that are being used on a daily basis.
Yeah. And I mean, I read some stuff up in preparation for this, because the beauty industry, with regards to the use of its chemicals within the, is pretty well self-regulated. There are very few chemicals that are actually banned from use. And yet there is quite a collection of chemicals used, isn't it? I saw one fact saying that over 12,000 chemicals are used in in the beauty industry, which is bewildering. Is that something you, the more natural aspect of the less chemistry, more botanist of you fights through, is that?
Well, see, the thing is, with chemistry, everything that's natural has a chemical molecular formula, you know, so, and the synthetic chemicals that have prevailed from the petrochemical industry, they've only really been around for 50 years.
Yeah.
So a lot of the cosmetic companies were originally set up with very natural formulations. But what happened, because they are built on a linear economy of business, everything is about short-term profit. So it's about making things cheaper.
Yeah.
And synthetic chemicals and formulations are cheaper than natural organic.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So as a chemist and a formulator, you're always looking for the best effectiveness, efficacy that you can get with your product. Because if you can get that, then customers will keep coming back to buy it.
Yeah.
But what has happened with the regulation, to be honest, the fact that we're in the UK and Europe, we have more regulation than anywhere else in the world.
Okay.
You know, so I think in the US, there is something like only, I don't even think it's 100 chemicals that are banned for use within cosmetics. Whereas in the UK and Europe, it's like over 5,000.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
So there is, it depends on where you are on the planet, but there's still definitely room for improvement. And for me as a chemist, you know, if you can do something with renewable resources that are natural and can be renewed very easily and very quickly, and you can still make a profit from it. So coming back to B Corp in terms of that people, planet, profit, then the question for me as a chemist is, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, you said the some of the sustain, some of the drivers behind the synthetic products is the fact that they're cheaper to produce or cheaper to use. And yet, you know, you say, I said in the intro that you produce affordable products.
Yep.
And is that, has the B Corp inspired you to take less of a cut so that you can deliver a better product to be better for people and planet?
So I'm a big reader and I love the beauty industry. So we had a local body shop. Yeah, Anita Roddick has always been a hero of mine.
Okay.
And she can be very Marmite, but for me, she inspired this fun element to go with your friends or your mum or your sister and, you know, find things that made you feel sort of good about yourself. And that's really what the beauty industry is about. For me, when it comes to business, when I was growing up, it wasn't something that was front of mind. You know, people didn't say to me at high school, when are you going to start your own business, Joe? It just didn't happen. It was more, you know, are you going to become a nurse or a teacher or, you know, these traditional jobs for lives? So when we had the opportunity to create Beauty Kitchen, at that time, I had heard about B Corp. So this was way back before
it was in the UK.
And I read the B Corp handbook, because I always thought there was a different way to do business. And it's not that we don't want to make sure our business is commercially stable, but I did think, I want to create employment. I want to create somewhere that I want to work. So something that's creative, something that if I want to work here, other people will want to work here.
Yeah.
And then I am a big animal lover and wildlife lover. So I don't really want to impact those either. So the whole B Corp standards really fit with everything that personally I want to do, but what Beauty Kitchen is part of who I am. So when we originally started the business, B Corp was in its very early stages in the US, but it's very early stages in the UK.
Yeah,
but when we set it up, we already thought we want to be B Corp certified.
So we already
put things in place to think about, if we're going for that certification at some point in the future, you know, let's start being a B Corp business just now. And what's great that's happened recently is people can now become B Corp pending, you know, and that's a great step on that journey to becoming certified.
Yes. And it's interesting that you formed your business and you knew about it. I must admit, when we started our business, we were fortunate that we kind of had decided we want to have this different type of business, different type of working environment, more flexibility for the people. And we didn't want to fall into our old big business ways that we'd been working in. But we were fortunate. We kind of accidentally aligned in many, many, many places. But it's interesting that you built the business on the principles. Was the certification process difficult?
So, if you're a smaller business, it can seem as if it is not as challenging when you have a big business with lots of different business units. Because as a smaller business and a business owner, you have the opportunity to make those changes very quickly. So whether that's policies and procedures that you have to put in place, or whether that's the governance where you're writing into your articles of association, it is much easier as a smaller business to be able to make those changes.
Yeah.
However, as a smaller business, you don't have lots of people.
Resource.
Don't have lots of resources to be able to put into the certifications. No. So there's a balance between all of them. I think really, if you have decided in your mind that your business is becoming a B Corp, then you will endeavour to set aside the investment that's required to get that certification. It, for me, it's like any project. If you're deciding to invest in research and development to design a new product, you should look at your B Corp certification in a very similar way. You're investing that time and some of your hard-earned cash into that particular project. And if you see it through that lens, I think it does make things less challenging.
Yeah, I can see that. That sounds very reasonable. Now, obviously, we're talking about B Corp certification of B Corp. And I said it again in the intro, that certification was at the heart of your business, really. Yeah. And you have an impressive array of certifications. Your 95% of your products are, I'm reading here, a certified vegan by the Vegan Society, and the cruelty-free leaping bunny certification. What drives, why are they so important, perhaps, if I ask that?
So there's a couple of reasons. Some businesses get certifications as marketing tools. And do you know what? From a certifying body perspective, that's great, because they then help to amplify that message and get more people on board.
Yeah.
When you are a purpose-driven business, you're getting that certification, which Beauty Kitchen is, to independently verify the things that you're doing that you think and you know are the right things, that someone independently is coming in, reviewing that, and then giving you that seal of approval to say, do you know what? That is what you are doing. The other thing is with certification is, it's maybe my logical mind, I think when there's lots of things to do, and in any business there always is, having a framework to work within and a list of different ways to tackle whatever that certification is or whatever that problem is, that works really well for me. And each certification, whether it's single attribute like vegan certification or multi-attribute like B Corp, that gives you a framework to work within. And it also identifies your gaps. It identifies your strengths, your weaknesses, and it tells you, here's how you can progress. And that just works for my logical brain.
Yeah, completely. And I think, as you said, with the B Corps and the B Corp pending, there's nothing to stop any organisation having a go at the assessment.
Yeah.
And they can see what they need to work on. The quoted figures are that 50 is the score you get on average in a business. 80 is your point where you could certificate. And then obviously anywhere above that is great. So it kind of brings me on kind of one of the bugbears that I have is about packaging. There's a couple of things we can talk about here. Packaging with regards to labeling. Now, one of the problems that I've seen is we tried to go vegan on the show in November. Neither Mike nor I were vegan, although Mike ate less meat than I did, and but probably more eggs. And so we tried it, but it was difficult. And it was difficult because when you went shopping, anything was vaguely processed and you were working out whether you could eat it or not. You had to dig so deep. Do you think that it's we're ripe now for not having this bewildering list of certifications or markings or something that we need to simplify something? A beauty industry, obviously, not necessarily food.
So I think it depends which category you're in, but yeah. I think it also depends which channel that you're selling into. So, okay. For example, we're on an e-commerce site called The Vegan Kind. And yeah. That's pretty straightforward. Everything on that website is vegan. So 95% of our products are on there. The 5% that's got beeswax in them are not. And that just makes it really straightforward and simple for the customer. Yes. And that's really what it's about. I think it's about making it easy and accessible for the everyday person who might not necessarily be vegan, but they're thinking, I want to do something that's more sustainable, or I want to do something that I want to eat less meat. I don't want to be fully vegan, but I want to lean in and have a Monday off. And I think if the certifying bodies can, and that's where I think there's been an evolution over the past 20 years. When you look at all the plethora of certifications that are out there, and then all the plethora of marketing that businesses can do by creating their own logos and greenwashing to a certain extent.
Yes.
I think any sort of harmonization or any certification that looks at more than one thing, I think that then helps the consumer to understand what that label means.
Yes. And I think that's probably the confusion that reigns, is if you're not buying through a shop which targets your community, yep, or your aspiration or your ethic,
yeah,
you're just going to Tesco's or Asda or whatever to find your ethical position in there. Yes. In the subway, you walk down the veggie aisle and say, I'm going to be fine here, but you pick up a cucumber that's completely wrapped in plastic, or ridiculous situations that we're in, and you have this dreadful balance. That brings me to the other side of packaging, which is the stuff you carry your beauty products in. Now, I notice you've got sustainable packaging. What do you do on the packaging front?
So we are the first beauty company to launch all of our products in reusable packaging. So all of our packaging is reusable. What people can do is they can either post it back to us, which does have a logistical transport CO2 emissions connected to it, but I'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Or they can return it to their local retailer. And we are starting to get more and more high street retailers on board.
Brilliant.
So that it means that if you're going to the shop anyway, you just take your empties with you. Not only that, you get rewarded for bringing the empties back. What happens is the empties then get back to us. We then have a bottle washing and packaging cleaning facility where we wash everything out. We then refill it and send it back out again.
That's brilliant circular economy thinking. I do love that. And it kind of links into what you've done in the return, refill, repeat.
That's it.
Station. Yep. Tell us a bit about that, because I love this. I want it down in Cornwall, but it's a long way away at the moment.
Well, so Beauty Kitchen is the beauty products, and
yes,
they're in reusable packaging, which is part of the Return, Refill, Repeat program.
Yes.
Our Return, Refill, Repeat program is twofold. It is reusable packaging and refill stations.
Yes.
So you can either refill in store, or you can send the empties back and we will refill them for you. Now, the refill stations and the Return, Refill, Repeat program, that is not just for Beauty Kitchen. Beauty Kitchen is the first customer. Our second customer is Unilever. And that happened with a launch in October.
Yes.
And that was in an Asda store in Leeds. And this is where, when we talk about sustainability, what we want to do with Return, Refill, Repeat is we want sustainability to be accessible to everyone. So a lot of the times people think it should be in a Sainsbury's or a Waitrose store. And I'm not saying that isn't a demographic that would be right for it, but why not an Asda? And why not in the middle of Leeds? And
yeah,
why not with Unilever products? And what we've proven with that is it has been so successful that we have the data, and so do Unilever and Asda, that people are actually changing from their current brand to a Unilever or Beauty Kitchen brand because it's in reusable packaging.
And that is it. I mean, it's the beauty of the consumer taking action, isn't it? And I think, to be honest, lockdown has demonstrated released this during the pandemic. Hats off to you for getting that all done during that. I really do, really impressed. Unilever is not, I'm trying to be, you know, polite. I'm not, you know, yeah. Unilever has not got the best name.
Yes.
It's not the best ethical name to attach yourself to. So is that good? Is that bad? I mean, what are we doing? Are we revolutionizing Unilever at the same time?
So I'm a big believer to assimilate from within. Everybody needs to get on this journey if we are really going to make the big impacts and make the changes quickly, because that's what we need to do. So with Beauty Kitchen, we're small, we're fast growing, but it would take us 100 years to get to the size of Unilever. So Unilever is the second biggest personal care company in the world. So the reach that they have in terms of the billions of people that buy their products just in one category, you know, this is only personal care. Think of all the other categories that they're in a supermarket. If we can help them to move to reusable packaging, then we can help them be better at what they do and start to become more good, which is what we're all about.
Yeah, and we mentioned before we came onto the recording that we can't be perfect.
No.
I mean, the best we could wish for is to be, we referred to ourselves in the end, at the end of vegan month as imperfect vegans. Some other people have dubbed phrases like freegans, where you're a vegan all the time, except when the food is free, like at a wedding or something like that. And I love that. I think that the aspect of imperfection is also kind of is what B Corps is about. Is you get celebrated for being a B Corp in the community, you don't get celebrated for your score, really.
No,
I mean, you might get acknowledged.
Talks about the score, really.
Not really. No,
you know, it really doesn't come up. And I think one of the ways that I look at it is zero waste has been huge over the past, you know, 12 to 18 months.
Yes.
And you know, somebody said a quote, and it was an anonymous quote, but I loved it. What we don't need is we don't need a handful of people doing zero waste perfectly. We need millions of people doing zero waste imperfectly. And that's how you get everybody to join in and learn from each other, you know, and find out what were your mistakes and how could I actually be, you know, more zero waste or more vegan or whatever it is that personally means a lot to you.
Because to all intents and purposes, it's almost unrealistic for that kind of massive shift. You know, we'd essentially need to stop driving, stop buying anything that had to be transported. Everything would be local. It's, you know, in this global economy and where we specialize in services or farming or manufacturing, these that we're going to get stuff from France, which we eat, and we're going to get stuff from Germany that we drive around in. So it's unrealistic to think you can have this idealistic community and yet imperfection, a balanced imperfection is where we need to be. I think that's brilliant.
And I think with perfection, you then become exclusive. And that's it's not what B Corp's about, and it's not what sustainability is about. Sustainability is about inclusivity. You know, it's about everyone, because we all have a responsibility, even if those small changes. The big thing that I love about this space is that all the things you've talked about, whether you buy something from France, China or the US, wherever it is, there is so much waste that happens. And rather than seeing it as waste, I like to see it as resources that we haven't found a use for. And I think if we can start to change that mindset, then it won't necessarily matter if we get something from France, because we'll have found a way to offset that, whatever that might be.
Whatever that means, I think that's great. And again, I think the other aspect, I mean, if anybody goes, and we'll put links in the show page notes to your site, and you know, if you read down your list of accreditations and the things you're doing, like donating 2% of your sales, not your profits, to charities that are close to your heart, and some people might look at that and go, if that's what B Corp means, you know, net zero, carbon neutral, I can't do that at the moment. Yeah. You know, that's not the message, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, the thing is, we get challenged by lots of people, particularly in our industry, because we don't do things for competitive advantage. And any business that you say that to would be like, what? Are you mad? Of course you need to do. We don't believe that. We believe that transparency, supporting each other, recognizing when you've made mistakes and sharing those mistakes, but also sharing the solutions, is the way to push things forward. And that means that you will innovate. And if you innovate, you have competitive advantage. But there is space for everyone here. And all we want to do with Beauty Kitchen is show what's possible. Do you know what I mean? It's to show what is possible for a small, you know, business that's based in Wishaw in North Lanarkshire, you know, which nobody has heard of. But it just means that we can do things differently. And if someone else can learn from any of those positives as well as mistakes, then my job is done.
That's brilliant. I love it. I really do. I've been impressed and followed ever since I saw that Asda machine, Beauty Kitchen. You kind of went, how does that Beauty Kitchen doing? I don't get it. But now I speak to you, I can see the drive. Asda, you've got to push these things out everywhere. To be honest, every supermarket, if you're listening, you need to get this done, because it's ridiculous that it's taking so long, really.
And don't get me wrong, we've been asked for exclusivity by the bigger companies, and we've said no. We've dug our heels in. And it's not that we don't want to look after those relationships, but this is not about exclusivity. It's about inclusivity.
Well, they're immediately looking at the competitive advantage instead of perhaps the transparency and the good, and actually people will go to them because they're doing that.
Yeah.
And it's just, people are switching for different reasons now. I almost think the unique selling point of your product is becoming more defunct, as if it's niche or profit based, or it's going to be, is it recyclable? Can I reuse it? Can I get it into some kind of circular economy? Can I get it repaired? Mm-hmm. These are all things that are coming up now. And people got, is it fastest? Is it got Apple stuck on the front of it, or whatever else might drive people's buying decisions? They are shifting, and businesses need to work that out. I think I'm clear. I have three questions I ask everybody. One is, why did the company become a B Corp? And I think I know why. It's because you built it, your ideals around that, and you didn't want to fall into the same old way. You've just been through recertification.
Yeah.
Now, recertification, obviously certification we talked about, is quite daunting because it's a big wall of work, and you might not have the policies and the paperwork to prove what you did because you're a small business. Bigger businesses, harder because of the breadth of the problem, the people.
Yeah.
But recertification is a walk in the park, isn't it?
No.
Oh dear, you shattered my illusion.
So, yes, you understand the process, which is great. But what the good thing about certifying in the first place is that you're then given things that you can work on, and you can choose whatever they are. Now, interestingly, Beauty Kitchen has always been a sustainable company. But when we first went through the certification, our environmental score was really low because we didn't do any reporting. Yeah.
Right.
So we knew that because we were doing that, but we had to find a way to verify that. And that was the area that we worked on over the past few years to be able to increase that particular score. And the way that we did that is that we looked at cradle to cradle principles. If people haven't heard of cradle to cradle, it's about designing products where there is no waste. Yeah, so you're using renewable resources, you're using packaging that can be reused. That's how you're designing your product, so that nothing goes to landfill or incineration. Yeah. And the certification is multi-attribute. It is really difficult. However, we knew if we got that certification or we went through those principles, that would definitely give us that gap that we had in our environmental score with the recertification. We haven't certified with Cradle to Cradle yet. We're on the cusp of doing that.
Okay.
But that has fed into our recertification for B Corp. But in terms of it being easier, there was lots of boxes that I knew that I could answer very quickly because we already had those in place. But it was this, I wanted to increase our score. I didn't want to stay. So although scoring is not talked about, depending on the kind of person you are, I'm quite competitive with myself. And it was like, I want to get something bigger. And I knew that environmental score could definitely go up.
And it's true to say, though, and I've never been through recertification, but from obviously what I understand is that the rules change.
Yeah.
The questions change, the structures change, the scoring changes every 3 years.
Yep.
So you're pretty well guaranteed that although you're certified on one set of questions, you'll recertify on a different set with a different nuance and different things. So obviously that means that the score of what, you know, of whatever you got,
yep,
and the score you got is not wholly comparable, but yep, the score you've got is on a higher,
yep,
on a more refined regime. So actually, if you stayed the same, you're actually better. Because
yeah,
that's
very much so.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about multi-attribute certifications like B Corp, and Cradle to Cradle are going to be on version 4 of their certification later this year. You know, so what I love about multi-attribute certification is they're always looking for the next gate and robustness and credibility to get through. And we know with B Corp that particularly within the environmental and sustainability element, that they want that to be a much higher area to focus in on going forward with their next versions. And we would all agree with that, because if you think of where they started, you know, packaging wasn't really that, you know, it wasn't really part of people's everyday lives. No. Plastic was not something that we were wholly worried about 10 years ago. I'm sure, you know, there definitely was people that was worried about it,
but
the general population wasn't.
Unaware,
And that's it. With the certification, if they go through the evolutions and they go through the next stage of what that is, that means when you come to recertify, your business can only be better.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. So Final question on this bit before we get into your actions and recommendations. Can you put a finger on why you value the B Corps as a certification, or value B Corps as a movement, I think would be a good question.
Yeah, I think the certification, as I said, gives me that framework. So it tells me what I'm good at, what I'm not so good at, and ways to be able to improve that. And that just works for me in my business. Yeah, we always want to strive to be better because we think that future-proofs the business. So why wouldn't you want to do that? When it comes to all of the other things that you get involved in, being part of the B Corp community, you know that you can pick up the phone, you can be on the Beehive, you can speak to B-Lab, whether that's in the UK or another country. If you're going to export to another country, you can tap into the B Corp community there. You know, there is so many other things that you can do to help leverage what that certification is. And I've not had anyone yet say no or be unhelpful or, you know, anything. And for me, I don't even know how you can put a price on that. You know, it's just something that is so helpful, especially when you are, you know, running your own business or your own business unit. If you can reach out to someone that's gone through what you've gone through, you just feel supported.
Yeah, I completely agree. When we launched this concept of 31 days in March and an interview every day for B Corps, we wondered if we'd get 31. That has not been an issue. you'll find that they'll recommend somebody who effectively are their competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you need to speak to these. They're brilliant. You're thinking, hold on, that's they do skin cream
because,
as well. And you go,
learn from each other, you know, and that just pushes. There is plenty of business for everyone, and it just helps to nudge that dial, especially if you can learn from somebody else's mistakes so you don't make them.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. It sells it alone, right, to me, and it has done. I don't think I realised the value of the community until I got in it.
Yeah.
So, asked if you had a nice action that our herd of listeners could perhaps take away and do for themselves. Have you got anything in that space?
For me, it's not just one, it's two. But you don't need to do both. You can do one or the other. So the first thing would be, if you're considering becoming a B Corp, just find a B Corp business, go direct to the top, whoever is the most senior person in that business, and connect with them either through LinkedIn, social, an email, a phone call, whatever, and ask them for 10 minutes of their time to tell you why you should become a B Corp.
Yes.
Or if you don't like to do that side of things, go on to the B Corp website and try the assessment. It will take you an hour to an hour and a half, I think. And don't expect to get the score. Don't ignore the score. Just think about answering the questions and almost do it instinctively, because you can come back to them. Nobody sees that, you know, so it's not that anyone's going to see that you scored really low on your recycling or whatever that question is. But it will get your mind thinking on, is this something I really want to do?
Brilliant. Okay. And it is surprising if you mention you're considering a B Corp. The other thing might be worth attaching to that is there are B Locals being created. In the US, have got a number of B Locals. So that's local communities and cities that work together.
Yep.
To promote and to help those that are working through the assessment. So search out B Locals, all if in the UK especially, but all in America definitely are, got LinkedIn groups, and if you go to them they will talk to you. So that's a great piece of action. Also ask for a recommendation, something that inspires you pick up, or something to watch or something to read.
For me, it has to be Cradle to Cradle, the book by William McDonough and Michael Brungart. When they wrote that book in the 90s, it was a precursor to the B Corp movement. And when Michael and Bill decided to set up Cradle to Cradle certification, they made B Corp a part of that certification, round about the similar time of when B Corp launched as well. Cradle to Cradle is more well known in the US. Okay. Than necessarily here in the UK and Europe. But Michael Brungart is German and Bill McDonough is American, you know, so it definitely brings the two sides together. And that book is really easy to read and you can dip in and out of it, but it's one of my overall favourites.
All right, that's great. Thank you for that. It's quite strange, isn't it? America is held up, you know, they're probably a fifth of the consumer of the world's electricity. And they had a president that disregarded pretty well everything that related to sustainability for 4 years. And now they've got a president that's going to throw $2 trillion at it. America seems to, some under the underlying this, who to be a leader or a who have planted a lot of sustainability seeds in the minds, like Cradle to Cradle and the B Corps both originated there, which are now spreading across the world. Now, it's an interesting observation that is starting in perhaps one of the least sustainable places, as it might be at the moment. But
But this is the thing about human beings, isn't it? You know, we create lots of problems, but we're the most creative animals on the planet and we love to solve problems. Yeah. Maybe that's why we create them sometimes. Who knows? But that's for another day.
It is. We're never going to solve. That's definitely an imperfect system, if ever there was one. So finally, I believe you have some fact or fakes to try me with. So if you want to kick off, let's see if I can guess what you've done to me.
So the beauty industry in the UK How big is it? Is it 10 billion, 20 billion, or 30 billion?
Pounds per annum.
Pounds per annum.
Oh, dear. I mean, it is an impressive industry, isn't it? I think I'm going to go for 30 billion.
Fabulous.
Excellent.
Big tech. And that actually makes up 1.3% of our country's GDP. And yet, until very recently, the industry was not represented by any government agency.
Oh, okay. Right. And which agency is now representing you?
That is a good question. I don't know the answer to that. No, I do. It's the Department of Trade and Industry.
Oh,
but we weren't represented, believe it or not, and yet we're such a key part.
Yeah.
Because when you think of the beauty industry, it's not just shower gels. You know, it's hairdressers, it's beauty salons, it's spas. Yeah, I see. You know, it's categories that go across, you know, lots of different areas, and it is very female led.
Yeah.
So in terms of businesses, you know, we are run by a minority, because the majority of businesses obviously are run by men. But in the beauty industry, we buck the trend.
Yeah. And I think generally in sustainability, you buck the trend. The more sustainable the company, the more likely. And that's quite an interesting and pleasant statistic. So I am having the joy of talking to a lot more women than I am men in this in these interviews. So I'm happy with that. It's no problem. Another one.
How many times faster did B Corp certified brands grow in the last year? 5 times, 12 times, or 28 times?
Oh, that is an awful question. What you're saying is that they grew faster than the businesses who were not certificated.
Yes.
Yeah. What was the middle one again?
12 times.
I think that's high enough. 12 times I'm going to go for.
28 times.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
28
this
times.
Is the place to be.
Wow.
If you want your business to grow faster and to last longer, if it's a B Corp, it is more likely that that will happen.
That's amazing. That's a brilliant statistic. I look forward to finding out where you got that from. Okay. I think we're one each, aren't we? So this is the decider.
Oh, the last one. How many different microplastic ingredients can you have in the cosmetic industry? 500, 1,000, or 2,000?
Could you repeat that for me?
Yes.
Thank you.
How many microplastic ingredients can you have in the cosmetic industry that's still used today?
Oh.
500 microplastics, 1,000 microplastics, or 2,000 microplastics?
Oh, and I know, Michael, we never really got into microplastics because this is kind of, you've got a, you're passionate about getting rid of those, and none of your products have got anything microplastic-y in it. So sorry for not covering that. I think I'm going to have to go for the 2,000.
Well, there is over 2,000 microplastics, but that isn't the answer. The answer is 500. And the reason why I mentioned it is that we are currently working, the UK and the Europe are currently working for a way to exclude those 500 microplastics, not just from the cosmetics industry, but from the fragrance industry, from the artificial turf industry, from the agricultural industry. It's across the board.
Yeah.
And that is going to be over the next 5 to 10 years that it will not be allowed to be included in any products that are made. Which
and
I just think is fantastic.
It is. That is one of the strangest innovations, isn't it? And why people thought that having a something which you could rub on your skin to exfoliate yourself full of plastic going down the drain was not a problem. And then getting into the food chain ridiculously enough. So,
and that's the thing with plastic. It's when it goes rogue.
Yeah.
You know, that is when it goes rogue, there's no way that you can do anything about it.
No.
But we are. We're trying.
And I do think the other thing that irritates me in this plastic, as people are innovating to try and deal with the plastic problem, is they're saying, this is a biodegradable bag. And you're going, okay. And there was one thing I saw is, I think it was a biodegradable bag. It's been put in a bucket of seawater.
Yeah.
And still there after 7 years.
Yeah.
And that's not biodegradable. But the trouble is, biodegradable just means it rots down eventually. Yeah. It can mean that.
And that's where certification plays a part.
Exactly.
Because that will then verify, what does that actually mean? And are you passing through the gate that really is what biodegradable means?
Brilliant. And thank you very much for devastating me again. it's not the only time I've been beaten, but I'm an imperfect fact or faker.
I thought you had a couple for me.
Well, I can do if you wish. We'll do a slightly extended version, shall we? Okay. I'll just give you a quote then.
Yep.
Every day, the average woman applies 372 synthetic chemicals to her body. Is that a fact or a fake?
I think that's a fact.
Well, you're wrong. Every day, the average woman applies 515 synthetic.
Is it more?
I
should know that.
Well, I don't like to say, but, you know, I was told that you're up
for leaving.
That's horrendous, isn't it? And anyway. And I'll do you one more. What should we do? Almost 60% of all cosmetic products contain parabens. Is that?
I would say that's a fact.
And you'd be right. And you hold on to your win. Can you just briefly explain what a paraben is?
So a paraben is a preservative. So any products that have water in them, they are then prone to going off, basically. Right. That's what it is. And what preservatives do is they preserve the product from going off, which protects the safety of the human being that's putting them on. But it doesn't necessarily protect the safety of the marine environment once you wash it off. And that's what the challenge is. And there's other stats about parabens, but we don't need to go into that. At the end of the day, for me, anything that is synthetically made and comes from the petrochemical industry, it is a finite resource and it can go rogue.
Yeah.
And there is alternatives that are renewable and that don't go rogue. The choice is yours.
Yeah, well, the choice is obvious, but... yeah, I get your point. Well, on that crushing defeat, having tried my best to win my honour back with my two, it just leaves me to thank you very much, Joe, for your time and your boundless enthusiasm on the subject. And all the best with Beauty Kitchen for the future.
No, great. Thank you. And if anybody does want to hear, you know, touch base on what we do at Beauty Kitchen and Return Refill Repeat, or B Corp for that matter, I am the only Joe Chidley on LinkedIn at the moment, or just email us.
Yeah, we might find her under Joe-Anne.
Yes.
But I got special privileges to call you Joe. Thank you very much, ma'am. Well, I'll leave you in Scotland. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. We really hope that you found this special B Corp Month episode both informative and entertaining. Make sure you don't miss any of the 31 interviews with B Corporations who are striving to be a force for good. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing. And don't forget to spread the word with others. If you have any questions about being or becoming a B Corp or any comments and suggestions about the show, please do get in touch. You can email studio@greenelephant.show or visit the website greenelephant.show or find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube or Twitter by searching for Green Elipod or The Green Elephant Show. You can also review the show on Google and Apple Podcasts. Join us tomorrow and we hope you have a sustainable day.